Warning, this podcast contains strong language, uncomfortable and often immature themes, and irreverent, ridiculous humor. Hey, this is Marco. I'm in my hammock and I hope you'll join me. Just imagine that we've had a nice, incredible surf session. We're feeling kind of mellow right now. We're all swinging away in our hammocks. You can hear the ocean in the background. We talk story and enjoy each other's company. That's what this podcast is all about. After 45 years of traveling and some pretty obscure places, the best stories I've ever heard are from surfers that you would never know. I hope you'll pull up a hammock or a couch, grab a nice cold one, and enjoy hanging out here on Marco's Hammock. This is Marco. Today, talk story with Roach, my roommate from when we first moved to the North Shore in 1984. Both of us, no money. He moved there with $1,000. He'll talk story about that. He's a former Eagle Scout, an altar boy who decided to leave Central Florida with either joining the military or heading to surf in Hawaii. But his real reason was to get laid. He has a lifelong fascination with bizarre insects, hence his nickname. And he talks about riding in the blender, windmilling in the barrel at Massive Haleiwa, some stories about the P.E. Koi pit, the pad we had in Honolulu, and our roommates, the X-Bra, Skeeter, and the debt we owe to Couch Boy. I hope you enjoyed this talk with Roach on Marco's Hammock.
This is Roach. Who the fuck is this?
Hey, Roach.
I know who you is. Well, we got a freaking hurricane one. It's gonna clip the east side.
So is it close enough already to
It hasn't even gotten the big on it, but it's moving at a quick pace. This is gonna be my first impact here.
Are you excited?
I'm really fucking excited.
I can tell, man. I know you live for this adrenaline stuff. Are you going to go outside? Because I'm sure you will.
I have to work.
During the middle of a hurricane, they're going to make it work.
Our restaurant, we were so slow tonight. We're open again tomorrow night.
So come on in, man. 90 mile an hour winds. Let's go. Have yourself a little spaghetti. Roach, if I came into your restaurant, and ordered during a hurricane, and I said, you know, I'm going to leave it up to you. What should I have tonight? Mm. You know, the winds, right? You can be, it's like the wind's battening at the windows.
Okay,
man, what do I order?
Sometimes I'll approach a table and say, and someone had just joined the table, and I'll say, oh, while you're away, we all did a shot of tequila. So they come back to the table, and I'm telling this, and so we'll do shots of tequila. I'll try to get a table to do that first. So a shot of good Casamigos, a good shot of silver Casamigos, and then we'll go right into mozzarella caprese or bruschetta with a nice glass of Chianti, and then we'll cruise right into some red sauce or maybe some white sauce, depending on your mood, or cheese or stuffed pastas. Or
man, I'm kind of regretting that I'm going to be missing this hurricane.
I went to my first strip bar a few days ago in like years.
You know, I distinctly remember you having quite a few friends who were strippers, and that was always something I was extremely impressed about by you. That,
oh yes,
you know, I've never mentioned that to you before, but I always thought, man, Mike's got some pretty nice buddies hanging out. So remember some Vietnamese girls, a couple Vietnamese girls.
Yeah.
You were quite the customer. I mean, it's to be
Korean, Hapa Haole, Japanese. Yeah.
What were some
Chinese,
of the bars?
Korean, yeah.
We went to Club Hubba Hubba, but I love that place. Did you ever go on the Hubba Hubba?
Well, to be honest, I have impregnated a stripper from Hubba Hubba.
Oh, so you have been there.
Yeah. I have a beautiful 24-year-old daughter from, well, I actually met her at Saigon Passion, and then she went to Hubba Hubba. I impregnated her after she moved to Hubba Hubba. She left a good job and freaking some sort of semblance of order in her life to Hubba Hubba and getting knocked up by some stupid, drunken old Dago surfer guy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But, you know, when you say Saigon Passion, that just brings to mind. Wait, listen, because I want you to answer this. That brings to mind some girls with some distinct skills on the stage. Hey, man, but hey, I want to get to your fascination with insects. Where did that start?
I've liked as a kid growing up in Central Florida, I started liking insects, and I guess it's because my dad liked that. So he got us books, and we had stuff to catch insects and gas them and kill them and put them on pins and label them. We had an entomology collection.
That's neat. I've seen those. That was really some cool of those thing. Are pretty impressive.
Very cool stuff. Yeah. We had a seashell, also one from Florida, Sanibel Island.
What happened?
We had over 100 species of shells from one trip.
Damn. Hey, what happened to your insect collection? Did the roaches eat those? I mean, that's what usually happens, is the roaches who actually live in your house come along and eat all your cool things off of their pens.
Roaches will eat everything.
They're insane. I know. Pretty but crazy. I've seen them eat foil.
The best thing is to eat a roach, though.
I've seen you do that, and that's why you have your nickname. Is when I think about it, first thing that comes to mind is the roaches. So you have have a good nickname, but besides roaches, you have a fascination for
insects. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So what are you into now besides roaches? What else?
Where I live now, I found a mother. It's about a 6-inch long, one of those red, big, giant centipedes they have up here.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. All over the island. Mm-hmm. And it had like 100 babies clutched to its bottom.
That's just a nightmare.
I couldn't kill them. You want me to send you a picture?
Not really.
I have a picture.
Hey, so tell me, let's get into like growing up in Florida and then how you got into surfing and then Hawaii and then the Pequoy and some of those stories.
So I got into surfing through my association with my very first job, which was East India Ice Cream Company.
So what about East India? Because it's Orlando. Orlando's an hour from the beach. So how is it that guys from Orlando get into surfing? I mean, I know my story, but you worked at a restaurant with a bunch of surfers. I never had that experience.
It was a difficult experience because, I mean, we were the townies versus the Smyrna Beach Inlet guys, you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anytime we'd go over there to surf, it'd be like, townies. It's like, well, who the fuck are you looking at as townies? We've actually committed our lives to driving 60 miles or 40, 50 miles just to make it to your ocean. And you're going to be dicks to us over your way? Fuck you already. Fuck you.
And then, but so being from town gives you a little certain attitude, huh? Yeah. And then, but then how'd you end up from Orlando, influenced by this small group? And then how'd you go from there to Hawaii? Because a lot of people I know, especially, I'm going to say like, I guess it was prevalent too with our age, but some people go and some people don't. Some people talk about going. And others make excuses like, oh, I can't go. I'm going to save my money. I'm going to, you know, there's always, my parents don't like it, blah, blah, blah. So how come you're one of the guys that went? Because did you have money? Did your parents support you to leave? Why did you go from Orlando and you were working at East India, which is a little ice cream?
No, I had left there already.
Okay. So how'd you end up from Florida, learning how to surf in Florida and, you know, your fascination with insects, and then you left and went to Hawaii. So how'd you end up there?
I came to a crossroads. I need to join the military and get my life straight, or I'm going to move to Hawaii and surf for a little while. I was using cocaine and I wanted to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I saved up enough money as a busboy to pay my rent and buy an airline ticket and move to Hawaii with $1,000 in my pocket.
There you go.
I shit you not.
I love these stories because that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you went with $1,000. Yeah, exactly. You're landing in Hawaii at $1,000.
But I had a CB surfboard that my dad was selling for me in Orlando to send me that money.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Baldwin surfboard, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, I landed and I was met at the airport by two good friends of mine from Winter Park, one male, one female.
Mm-hmm.
The female I've always been attracted to. The male had been with the female, and I kind of always.
Because, I mean, if you'd rather use the names, I mean, it's.
John had fucked Julie, and I didn't. And I was always envious of that.
So there is another reason why you didn't join the military.
My discipline was not at the highest level of my life when I moved.
I'm sure. You stayed
I'm
there.
Still working on that discipline problem 36 years later.
It is a struggle, isn't it?
It can be.
So you stayed at their house for... So you had someone to stay with. That's a good one.
For the first night, yeah.
That's dope. For one night.
And then I was immediately whisked off to some weird place called Rubber Duckies. It sucked. It was so ugly up there. Are you kidding? It was the most perfect spot on the planet I've ever seen in my life, and I'm living right there, watching these waves, watching these rocks, watching these mountains, the wind, it was freaking incredible, dude.
The sun.
I was so enthralled when I moved here.
I remember. That's where I met you. I met you at Rubber Duckies, which is for people that don't know about the North Shore of Hawaii, that's where it is. And it's called Rubber Duckies because you've got sunset, you've got pipeline, you've got Waimea Bay, you've got Haleiwa, you've got boneyards, you've got backyards, and then you've got Rubber Duckies. Like, it's rarely surfed because it sucks pretty bad. For the North Shore, it's probably the worst spot as far as, like...
You're missing the whole point of the North Shore, though. The North Shore is not just about waves. Live, vibrant spot on the island as far as light. I will drive my car an hour just to go to the North Shore and jump in the ocean.
Beautiful beach.
It's the water quality and the condition of the way the bottom is of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Well, plus, like you say, especially when the surf's on, when the waves are there, the North Shore is a whole other – it's probably one of the most happening spots on the planet to be at. And as far as, like, social and people watching and vibing with people and the diverse amount of people that are there. And it is pretty happening, isn't it, for that 9 months or whatever. It's pretty
Absolutely.
Fun. And so we were there in 84. Am I right?
Yeah, well, we were there in the spring of 84.
Right. And then so we stayed at Rubber Duckies for a period of time.
As the waves started dying out, all of a sudden everyone goes, okay, we're going to move to town. Let's get a job in town. So freaking Skeeter and freaking Avis got me a job, slid me right into the Hilton Hawaiian Village with them.
You know, Skeeter... he was amazing at getting places. Like he found that place. He was just amazing at, you know why? Well, the first time I ever met him, the first time it would have been probably close to the same time I met you. The first time I came in from Australia, went out there. John and I slept on the beach at Haleiwa and overnight, the night I got in there, woke up to crash. And like first time I went out, Haleiwa was like 8 feet. And John was like, you know, man, I don't want you to drown out here. I know you've been in Australia for 2 years, but these waves are so different. You know, I was like, oh yeah, sure. You know, puffed out.
Where, Haleiwa Harbor?
Wait, yeah, no, Haleiwa. And then puffed out chest and my head fat, you know, like, no, that's good. I got so pounded, man. First waves in Hawaii was a big wake up call to how powerful the things are. But, and then we went to, wait, let me finish with Skeeter.
So, yeah, I'm sorry.
Talk about that in a minute. But Skeeter, like you mentioned, was such a good connection. And the first time I ever met him, he was surrounded by these guys from the Hilton or wherever he was working, all these local dudes were actually at the pad, at the Rubber Ducky's little pad.
Mike and Miles.
It was packed. It was packed. And there was a guy named Ben and some other guys that nobody really, you know, but they were just really cool and easy going. And Skeeter was already in there, like the whole lingo and like, hey, brah. Like the first time I ever met him, he didn't say like, hey, I'm Skeeter. Nice to meet you. He was like, hey, brah. Oh, what's up, brah? The surf, the kind, you know, he's like, this guy's been here like 6 months and he's already speaking pidgin. And so, I think because of that, I think because of how fun he was and how he just loved people in general. He had so many connections. Like he found three of the houses I lived with him in those 2 years. He found all of them and they were all like killer pads.
So, but when the waves left the North Shore, they decided to get an apartment. They migrated every year. They lived where the waves were.
Yeah.
That was Skeeter and Avis. That's right. How they did.
Right. Yeah, back and forth, town, North Shore.
I don't give a fuck where I work, but I want to live by the waves. that's what their attitude was.
When you left the North Shore, where did you go?
Pequot Pit, baby. It was definitely Chinese oriented, this place.
Yeah.
You could tell this is not above the board construction. They freaking rigged it.
That's a good way to put it.
Absolutely.
And so, and I don't remember the rent, but I know that we rigged it so that it was dirt cheap. I mean, there was the three main, there was, you had a room, I had a room, Skeeter had a room. And then to adjust the rent, we had Couch, who rented the couch. I forget what he paid, but $100 a month, maybe.
Oh, Blake was a couch boy?
Clay, yeah, Blake is the couch boy. That's an even better name for him, the couch boy. Yeah.
The mother of my son lost her virginity to that motherfucker.
Yeah, well. And so moving on. So, the couch boy was there, literally on the couch all the time. He had a stack of magazines next to his couch. And the only time he wasn't laying down was when everybody else needed a place to sit, because that was literally the only other place to sit in that front room. We had no TV. There was no television. There was no furniture. There was a couch and a refrigerator and then the cooking area. And then you went past your room.
We had a coffee table.
You had your little hovel. And then you took a left into, you know, my complex, and there was the walkthrough thing. And then one day, I think Skeeter went to Lightning Bolt, who was in those days was in its dying days as a surf shop. It was literally like nobody went there. It was just this, you know. Skeeter shows up with this super polite Texan guy. He's wearing like no shirt, just his surf short. He had his board and a bicycle. And he just shows up one day and, you know, it's like, hey, how you doing? You know, and Skeeter's like, hey, you know, he needs a place to stay. I mean, I was thinking like maybe you could rent him out this spot here, you know. And I was like, you mean the closet? You know, and the ex-bra, which is what his nickname is, the ex-bra, he was stoked. Like, I was like, do you want to stay? You can stay in here if you want, man. He was so stoked. I found out later, he went out, he like ran out and got a cot. I think at first he just threw like his board in there and some surf wax and like a candles and shit like that. And within no time, he took off on his bike and he came back. He had a little cot. I don't know where he bought it or got it. Maybe he had it at Lightning Bolt. I think he might have been living in the back at Lightning Bolt. But anyways, Skeeter said, hey, come on up. You know, you can rent. And I forget, like, I think he rented the closet for like $75 a month or something. So we had the couch boy for $100 supplementing our income. And then we had the ex-bra in the couch in the closet supplementing our income. And so I guarantee you, so I found out later what he was wearing was all that he had. He had a bike, surf shorts, and a t-shirt. That was it. And I never really got to know him that well. I wish I had spent more time kind of knowing him. But, you know, it's kind of weird when you got someone living in your closet and you have to walk through their room to get to your room.
That was a perfect name for him, though, because that's what it says right on his body in that one photograph.
Yeah.
Ex-bra.
It was crazy. Yeah. He was such a nice guy, though. I mean, he was always in a good mood, and he was polite, and he was happy, and all that.
Tyler Weeks from Texas.
I remember he...
Nutmeg Nancy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what about that? What about those stories?
Oh, he was looking for ways to get high for no money. So he said that you could hallucinate from eating nutmeg. And you have to eat a whole 2 teaspoon of raw nutmeg. And sure, you'll hallucinate, but then you'll probably throw up and have really bad headaches. But he did it anyway. It was really funny to watch him. And I couldn't do it because, I mean, I like getting high, but I don't like doing it the cheap way. I'm going to do it right.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that, and I never saw him actually do it. I just saw the stuff. So one time there was like banana leaves, you know. I'm like, hey, what are you doing with these, dude? You know, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna roast them up, and then I'm gonna smoke them. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, go for it. And, you know, because there was literally nothing else in the kitchen. There would be like a beer in the fridge sometimes, and then you'd open all the kitchen cabinets, and there was nothing in there. And then one time, one was open or whatever, and I saw like one of those little jars of nutmeg was in there.
Yeah.
There was like nothing in the kitchen. And then this thing was open. And there was like the little jar of nutmeg. What the hell? Why is there nutmeg?
We had an hysterical story with him and Blake and I. Did John already had that Pinto, right? The yellow Pinto?
Yeah, the blender. So it was called the blender because it was a piece of shit.
So he let us use it one time. And
remember about the blender? That's probably the best part of the story is the car you drove there in.
Yeah, I didn't like that car. It had like holes in the floor. it was not a good car.
What floor? It didn't have a floor. It had 2x4s, so your feet wouldn't go through. It was totally rusted out.
Exactly. So with that in mind, any exhaust leaking through, the leaky exhaust was coming permeating partially into the car.
Uh-huh, which would have added to your beer buzz, your free beer buzz that you got so excited about. Blender's a whole other story. That's probably the classic car of all time. But what about some other roommates? Do you remember any other roommates? Like, what about the couch? Like, what you got any stories about him, Couch Boy? You knew him better than I did. I just would, you know, see him looking at himself in the mirror in the magazine all the time.
My ex-wife lost her virginity to him.
Yeah, but back in the day, I'm talking about, he was just on the couch. And then so here's another one. So then one day, the ex-bra comes home, you know, and he's all excited. I come in the door, and there's two brown dudes sitting on the floor. Massive boards, like 3 or 4 boards, two guys. And, you know, they're smiling, ear-to-ear smiles. And the ex-bra is kind of like, nervously, hanging out with them. And he goes, Hey, Mark, man, these guys came into the shop today. You know, he's talking about Lightning Bolt. He goes, these guys came into the shop today. They just got here, man. They're from Peru and they're looking for a place. So I said, maybe they could crash up here. And I was like, okay, well, where are they going to go? Cause there's a guy on the couch. You live in the, where are they going? He goes, well, I was thinking maybe they could like rent the floor here, the rug for like $100 a month.
Right, you know, for the refrigerator.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, yeah, that's cool, whatever. You know, and I go to introduce myself, and the one guy, Magoo, who's actually a legend in Peru. Yep. I don't know if you know that. Yep. He is.
Yeah, Magoo.
He's a legend in Peru, Magoo.
De La Rosa.
Yeah, and then the other guy was Gabriel, and Gabriel was just this really nice. He had some rudimentary English. So they basically threw their shit on the floor and then ran.
Gabriel had better English than Magoo, if you ask me.
Definitely.
Gabriel was super intelligent, but not the athletic. Magoo was athletic. Gabriel was not.
No. Well, he still surfed, but.
Comparatively. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, he surfed as good as we did. I mean, Magoo's a pro. He's a professional. So he surfed Pipe Masters that year. He actually got into the Pipe Masters and all. So he was definitely he was good. But
Gabriel was super intelligent and super funny, though. I love Gabriel.
Yeah, nice guy. You know, I've tried to find him, but as Gabriel Velasquez, I mean, there's like a million Gabriel Velasquez's. So at one point in the Pequoy pit, we had the Couch Boy, 2 Peruvians on the floor, Skeeter, Roach, the ex-bra, and then me. So what's that? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys in a 3-bedroom little apartment.
I was not in favor of the and I have no offense to brown boys, but I was not in favor of the two brown guys moving in with us.
Why not?
Because we didn't have the space.
Yeah, yeah, you had to step over them. They were out of there pretty quick.
I'm sorry, I'd rather pay more money and not have to step over someone in the living room. no offense. I felt guilty making food. We had a standing joke about Gabriel, you can make your rice taste like filet mignon. You're a freaking wizard. We made fun of him because all he had was rice to cook. And we're like giving him like little samples of meat and whatever so he can mix with it and do his fantastic cooking. But I felt bad for the guy. De La Rosa always had the chicks around him, but Velasquez, no more.
Yeah, no more to kind. I remember Gabriel, though, when he first moved in that first day and we were sitting around and smoking bowls or whatever it was. You know, we could always afford some weed and then looking at surf magazines, and there was a picture of sunset or whatever, and Gabriel had like a 5'10", and he's like, he kept going like, oh man, I shred. You know, he was doing his hands like a surfboard. And he was like, we're looking at the picture of sunset, you know, it was like 15-foot sunset. And he's like,
5'10" twin fin on sunset.
Yeah. And he goes, I totally shred this, you know, and he's showing himself carved and imaginarily on it and stuff. And we're like, no, you won't, you know, you're not going out on there with that. And he's like, oh, I charge the big ones in Peru. You know, he's bragging about Pico Alto or whatever it is. I'm like, we're all like, okay, you try it, man. And sure enough, like we took him out one of the next days where he just got smoked out there. His first wave he took off on, he just got absolutely buried. And yeah, so the North Shore is really good at teaching you some humble pie, isn't it? Well, you probably had the worst wipeout I've ever personally witnessed was at Haleiwa, and it was a big day. It was a monster day. So I think I caught a wave or was whatever. I was paddling out. And Haleiwa does not have much of a channel. It's just you got to power out past that, and it's thumping and holds you down. And it's probably one of the worst wipeouts that doesn't usually get talked about. But you definitely get some strange currents underwater there. And anyways, you had taken off on this one, and I've never seen anyone do it before or since. But you took off late and were dropping down, and it was sucking out and throwing out. And you were actually windmilling your arms because you were struggling with the balance. You were windmilling, you know, your arms were windmilling inside the tube.
Yes.
You
just got a regular Don Quixote.
If there's actually the word eaten would be so appropriate for that image, because it just like a giant being sucked into a giant Jackson.
I made
chameleon.
It, right?
It looked like a Jackson chameleon just sucked you right into itself.
Oh, I didn't make it.
Oh no, you got smoked, and then your leash broke. Yeah, and your leash went over – your board went over the jetties at Haleiwa, which is there to protect the boats.
Yeah.
So that's how big those waves were. I mean, you had some gnats going for
that. That's right. I looked up – I'm not attached to my board. I'm just got a leash around my ankle, and I see the beach passing me by. So I'm like all of a sudden, you go along the beach, and then you get to the jetty, and suddenly you're on the jetty heading out to sea. And I saw a lifeguard running out to catch me, and I ended up swimming and, you know, swimming against, you know, kind of at an angle against the current, and I landed on the rocks myself, got out of the water myself, and you paddled out and saved my board.
Yeah, so now we're even.
You're right. Oh, we're even.
Hey, Rich, those rocks are not rocks. They're massive boulders. People should know that.
Yeah.
They're like 20 by 20.
They were giant. Yeah, it was not an easy climb out of the water. No, it wasn't. But you don't have a surfboard. You're in 10-foot plus seas, and in a riptide, what are you going to do? You're going to swim and survive, right? Get the fuck out of the water. Get the fuck out of the water. You jump into the water, but then you got to get out. You got to know when to get out.
I know. Actually, getting out on the North Shore is worse than getting in, isn't it? Really, it's pretty bad getting out. Hey, so let's finally get to the subject that you've been dying to talk about for the last hour, and that is impregnating your wife.
Oh, geez. You know what? Now?
Yeah, what's the story? What? Because you've been talking about the couch boy.
Hey, Mark, I'm going to be honest. I've two women I've met in my living room. One was Sharon, one was Margot. Both women I met in my living room, I got them pregnant.
Something about living rooms.
So, Cowboy brought a girl back to our apartment. She was sweet, nice, and from China, you know, Fijian girl from China. I mean, no, a Chinese girl from Fiji. Excuse me. Woo! And she seemed nice, and she lost her virginity in our apartment.
Yeah, well, I wasn't there, and I don't know where the couch boy would do that because he had a couch, so he would have had to wait, or I'm not sure if he would bother.
I think I gave him my own room. I gave him my room.
Right.
And then she came back the next day, and he didn't want anything to do with her. So couch boy is a fucking dick.
Well, no, actually – He chases the women and, does his thing and then he leaves.
Anyway,
I'm actually married to one of the girls that he did that to. So for 35 years. So I actually like the couch boy. I mean, I wouldn't have met my wife without.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And wait, John's first wife was done by couch boy first. No, yeah, we know this.
So he was worth his $100 a month.
Wasn't he? Wait, he gave each of us a spouse, a motherfucker. I never thought of it like that before.
And he's never been married.
No.
So obviously the women thing. There was a lot of strippers coming going, and then you fell in love with this.
I'm going to be honest. If it wasn't for getting a girl pregnant, I never would have stayed in this fucking island for 36 fucking years.
You know, most people, I just looked at property there. Everything is like $800,000. I saw a piece of crap was $500,000, you know. So when you say you don't like the island, it's amazing. So these days, you're past the P.E. Koi pit. You have 35 years in Hawaii, you know, and I was there 12 years. So, man, you've just been there such a long time, some great stories. And, now you're a grandfather. You're still into your insects. Still teaching, you're passing that love of nature onto these beautiful grandkids you got. You know, you got two Absolutely. Wonderful kids. Man, you've just done really good for yourself. And when you say, you know, this fucking island or whatever, I don't know, to me, you're kind of pretty blessed, man. You got a good life. What happened with the surf? Why don't you surf anymore?
I blew out my left knee playing ultimate frisbee. I've been a few times since. Mm. I dive, I swim, I body surf. I just have not actually surfed on a board in a long while. Oh, no, okay. I love the ocean. Uh-huh. I've been to Sandy's more than anything. I've done that.
Hey, so let's finish on – so you got the girl pregnant. You guys got married. You had a couple kids. And then you just said for the first time in years, you went to a strip bar. So let's finish on that. How was your strip bar experience after all these years?
I thought she was a really cool chick, really nice, cool young lady.
Is this the stripper last night?
2 days ago.
Oh, so this might blossom into yet another good thing.
No, I can only impregnate women that I meet in my living room.
I think that's a good thing to finish on, man. Hey,
yeah,
Rich,
I think so too.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Nice talking to you. We can do this again some other time. Absolutely. Yeah.
You're the man. Good night. I know it's like 4 in the morning there.
Four, almost 5.
All right, bro.
You got a hurricane coming in a couple hours. You've kept me from prepping. Damn you, man. I need to get off the phone.